Thank you, Stephanie, and good morning, everybody. I would like to introduce you with a network of on-farm experiments that we have been carrying out since 2000 under the partnership of CREA, that is a farmers association in Argentina, IPNI, the institute I work at, and ASP, which is a fertilizer company in our country. This work, or this network, that we call the Nutrition Network of the Southern Santa Fe region, has been established in 2000, and I would like to introduce you briefly some of the results of these first 15 years of work. Just to provide you with some background about Argentina, in the last years, Argentina has been producing above 100 million tons of grains, basically soybean, maize, and wheat. 90% of that grain crop, that grain production comes from the eastern part of the country, the plains of the Chaco and the plains of the Pampas, and most of it really from the central eastern part of Argentina, that is the Pampas region. Soils in the Pampas were highly fertile at when we started agriculture 120, 150 years ago, but with cropping along that time and negative nutrient balances, this is applying less nitrogen, phosphorus, sulfur of the nutrients that we have been removing with the grains. Right now, nitrogen, phosphorus, and sulfur are generally deficient in our production systems. It is also important for you to know that since the mid-90s, 75 to 90% of the cropping area of Argentina is under no-tillage management. Then, what is this nutrition network of the Southern Santa Fe? Basically, it's a work that we started in 2000 with very basic questions at that time between farmers, consultants, and researchers, as you will see from the first objective that we have, just to determine responses to MP and S in the region, to validate diagnosis tools. But as we move into these 15 years of work, we have developed new objectives and new challenges and opportunities for the on-farm network. I will just show you briefly some results of the four objectives that are in the red boxes today, just to give you an idea about the work that we have been doing in this network. Currently, the network has five on-farm experiments. What you see here in the map are three in the blue text, and there are maize, full-season soybean, double crop, wheat, soybean rotation in the northern part of the central Pampas. And the two in the red text are in a shorter rotation, three crops in 2 years, maize and double crop, wheat, and soybean. The network has been established, as I say, in 2000, and the treatments that we have been evaluating since that time are the six treatments that are described there, basically combinations of M, P, and S, of course a check, and a complete treatment that I won't be discussing today with other nutrients that could be deficient in the future. The rates of P and S are decided basically from the grain removal, plus 5 to 10%, trying to increase the level of P and S in the soils. And the rates of nitrogen are being decided from site experiments in which we use the highest responsive nitrogen rate in maize and in wheat. We do not apply any nitrogen in double crop soybean or full season soybean. And treatments are repeated every year in the same plots. Then what you will be seeing in the results are the accumulation of the effects of the treatments that I'm describing in the table. Then going into some of the results, these figures are showing you the accumulation of grain production along the first 13 years of the network at the five sites. And as expected, the responses depend on the initial soil fertility condition. You see in the top figure to the left, the Balducci site with 120% increase in grain production. That's the poorest soil fertility condition in 2000. And to the bottom in the right side, you will see the Lambaré site that is the highest or the best soil fertility condition in 2000, only an increase of 27% of accumulated grain production along these first 13 years of determinations. One very interesting result regarding production for us was the indicator of water use efficiency. We are under a dryland agriculture, and water is the most limited resource for us. Then improving water use efficiency is a goal for our agriculture. And as you see here in this table that is summarizing several years of work in the network, You see that we were able to improve water use efficiency with balanced NPS fertilization in the short rotation for maize, wheat, and double crop soybean, and in the long rotation in the case of maize, and some interesting trends also for the other crops. Regarding the validation of diagnosis tools that we are using to decide AMP or NPS fertilization, I just want to show you as an example this relationship that we were validating between maize green yield as a function of nitrogen availability and nitrogen availability considered as the soil nitrogen in the first 60 centimeters at pre-plant test, plus the fertilizer nitrogen that is being added in the different treatments. And you see there that we, that what the graph is showing us is that we can get 10 tons with 150 kilos of nitrogen soil plus fertilizer, or we can also shoot for 12 tons with 260 kilos of nitrogen in the soil plus the fertilizer nitrogen. This is very important for farmers because it allows them to validate what they are seeing in other experiments. Another important information that we gathered from the network is how soil break P tests are changing according to the P balances. And these two figures are summarizing some of that results. In the upper figure, you have the soils that are low in Bray P tests, less than 20 parts per million. And in the bottom, you have the soils that are high in soil P tests, above 40 parts per million. And we, what we can get from this information is that in the low soil P soils, we might increase Bray P by 4 parts per million for every 10 kilos of positive phosphorus balance that we are having in the field, that is above what is grain removal. And in the high P soils, in the bottom figure, what we saw is that we have a decrease of 2 parts per million for every 10 kilos of negative nutrient balance, in this case, of course, phosphorus. Then this is very useful information for the farmer regarding how they might manage their fields and how they can move or change the Bray P levels. Some brief comments about the economic results of the network. And also, again, as expected, what you saw in the first figure of grain production, there is a close relationship between the average annual net profit of the NPS fertilization with the initial soil fertility condition. The poorest initial soil fertility condition get the highest annual net profit, the top number of $370 per hectare per year. And the best one in the bottom is $80 per hectare per year. It was the best initial soil fertility condition. Another evaluation that we did regarding economic results is trying to compare the results of our treatments with the farmer's field, the same farmer's field where the experiment is established. And the data that you see here is on return on investment. And you can see that the farmer's field, which is the gray bar in both figures, is close, or our treatments are a little above even what the farmer got in his field. The most interesting thing is that with the balanced treatment in the case of NPS or NS in the graph of to the right, we also improve the soil fertility condition above the conditions of the farmer fields. Then we get a positive economic return, plus we are improving the soil fertility condition of the field. The last issue I would like to show you, and taking again briefly about the many results that we have got along these 15 years, is about soil health. And this is probably the most interesting point for us issue right now. Look at which is the effect of the fertilizer treatments on the soil conditions. Some parameters here, the first one is organic carbon, that's mass of organic carbon per hectare in the first 15 centimeters, and you see that we have an interesting response with the NPS treatment, 7%. In fact, two of the five sites show significant increases in organic carbon under the NPS balanced fertilization. In the other hand, we have acidification tendency or trend that you can see from the decreasing soil pH and the decreasing exchangeable bases. In fact, this is a kind of yellow light for us because acidification is being an issue in the Pampas of Argentina, and our network is showing that too. Very exciting results from determinations in microbial activity. We have measured soil respiration, but also production of glomalin. And here I'm showing you just the production of glomalin, and you see an increase with balanced NPS fertilization of 23%. We are very excited about these results, but we are looking right now mainly into microbial diversity and populations, trying to look further into which is the impact of the fertilization treatments in the microbiological properties of the soils. And regarding soil physical properties, I'm showing just their biodensity, but we didn't see any significant difference or any trend of the fertilization treatments on the soil physical conditions of the soils. Then, to wrap up and give you some conclusions of this talk, or this brief presentation of our nutrition network, we have found that NPS management may increase in our conditions grain yields, profitability, improve water use efficiency, and improve some indicators of soil health. And we're excited about that. Our concern is, as I just say, about the acidification that we are seeing in the fertilizer treatments. And that's something that we are working right now, in fact, and developing some side experiments to evaluate better if we need liming and what could be the response to that. As I also say just a minute ago, we are excited about soil microbiological results, and we have to continue and expand this work. And we are working with several institutions on that, trying to get their expertise. But the most important, probably, result or conclusion that we get from these 15 years of work, and we hope that we agree that we will go at least to 20 years, 5 on-farm sites, these are real farm management experiments, has been the effort of teamwork. We are farmers, researchers, consultants, industry, all working together. From this network, we already have 1 PhD, 2 masters, 5 publications in peer-reviewed journals. Then we are quite excited about all the outcomes of the network. And we are also excited because the network went beyond itself. And then we have plenty of different interactions between the farmers, the researchers from National Institutes of Agriculture, from universities, visits to the field. In fact, this has been probably the greatest outcome, and we think that all this interaction is something yesterday in the opening keynote the speaker told us about communication. This, we are pretty sure that emphasizes what is communication for all of us in agriculture and also for the rest of the society. With this, I thank you for your attention, and I don't know if I have time for some questions. Thank you. If we have fertilizer trials at the Córdoba province. Some of these experiments are in the Córdoba province. You probably weren't able to see in the map, but one of the 5 is in Southeast Córdoba, specifically, if you are from there, at Alejo Ledesma. Yes, thank you. The question is about the soil types in the region. Most of them are arachidols and apludols. In the 5 sites that we have right now, there are 3 typical arachidols and 2 apludols. Time-wise, I skipped that part, sorry, Patricia. We have been checking micronutrients, basically boron, zinc, and also potassium and magnesium. We have some responses. I would say that from all the data, considering oil years, we have around 20% of the times, as a frequency of response, 20%, mainly in maize and in wheat in the short rotation that is more demanding. We broadcast We band the before planting, we burn the phosphorus and the sulfur, and we broadcast the nitrogen at different moments depending on the crop, for the wheat at planting time and for the maize at B6.
All right, we got to move on. Thank you, Fernando.
Thank you.